I'm Amanda Vinicky.
And this is Morning Edition on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows. The time is 8:49.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in with the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. The markets have opened and the trade is just slightly lower for the corn and soybeans. Yesterday, the United States Environmental Protection Agency released the final Waters of the United States rule. That's the WOTUS rule. Agricultural and other industries have begun to review it. Early indications are that they are not very happy. You can review that rule as well if you'd like. Just look on the United States Environmental Protection Agency's website. It's on the front page, and you'll find links to the ruling. The national average basis for corn was a penny weaker at 19 cents under the July futures contract overnight, while the DTN National Corn Index was down 6 cents. Average trade across the nation at $3.31 on the cash price now for corn. The national average basis for soybeans down a penny, or rather a penny stronger, at 34 cents under the July contract. The DTN National Soybean Index up 5 cents for soybeans at $8.93 for the cash price. Now let's check the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for the Agricultural Weather Report on WILL comes from Busey. Busey's online and mobile banking allow you to stay connected to your finances and manage your accounts anytime, anywhere, using your mobile device. Busey. Your dream, our promise.
In agriculture,
portions of the eastern Midwest would certainly benefit from some scattered showers and thunderstorms after recent net drying, and it is going to be coming to the region in a couple of waves. The first round of precipitation is likely to arrive as we get into Friday and Saturday. We'll look for enough precipitation in some of the eastern areas to lift the topsoil so that we have better moisture there, and it looks like the crops will respond very well to that event. Another system will likely come across the region as we get into next week, and that will likely generate again some favorable moisture so that the region is not nearly as threatened by dryness as it has been here recently. The temperatures are going to be bouncing around across the Midwest quite a bit. We'll be looking at some very warm conditions occurring across the region today. A lot of 80 degree highs are expected, but that will contrast rather sharply with temperatures over the weekend that will be notably cooler. Some cooling will already be underway in the northwestern parts of the region as we move on into the day tomorrow, but we won't notice the coolness until we get to Saturday and Sunday, and at that time highs will be in the 60s and 70s across the Midwest, and a few 50s may occur in the Great Lakes region and a part of extreme northwestern portions of the region. The coolest nighttime temperatures will likely occur on Saturday morning. That's when we'll likely see the chances for frost returning to portions of northern North Dakota and northern Minnesota, and on Sunday morning, we may see that across a part of the western Great Lakes region, or in particular, northeastern and some east-central sections of Minnesota and northern portions of Wisconsin. No permanent crop damage is likely to occur as a result of the frost that may occur, and we're expecting to see the temperatures in the rest of the Midwest no cooler than 40s and some 50s in the south. Temperatures will then rebound back into some 70 and 80 degree highs after the coolness of the weekend. Some of those temperatures over the weekend will certainly be notable, but they won't last long, and we'll be right back into 70 and 80 degree highs next week. The chances for rainfall in the western Corn Belt are still quite good as we move forward through these next few days. The majority of the precipitation will occur out in the areas west of the Mississippi here today and again tomorrow. The two-day event will likely generate 100% coverage. Most areas will pick up on a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain, but there will be some locally greater amounts in a few spots. Most of those are going to be focused randomly on areas out across both the southwest and perhaps a few locations in the northwest part of the Corn Belt. We'll look for mostly some local totals getting into the 1 to 2 inch range. The outlook for the eastern Midwest rain totals for this next few days will be running mostly a quarter to three-quarters of an inch, as I mentioned before, and some locally greater amounts. In hard red winter wheat country, we're going to continue to be focused on the overall condition of crops in Oklahoma and Texas. According to a recent state crop update, crops in Oklahoma are ready to be harvested in the south, but some of this wet weather has certainly put a stoppage to that, and there won't be any field work take place until we see some drier conditions. The next 2 to 3 days will certainly generate enough precipitation to raise concern over the quality of that crop as it waits to be harvested, and further delays in field work will take place. Next week is going to be a better time period for hard red winter wheat country in general, as well as the southwestern corn belt and some other areas nearby that have been plagued with too much moisture recently, and the end result will be a general improvement in overall conditions, but ideal conditions will probably not be in place until after several days of drying. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether it's quickly approaching or many years away, Busey Wealth Management provides retirement solutions tailored to one's specific needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, let's check the numbers now in Chicago as they are currently trading from the CME Group. Futures in the corn pit are down a quarter in the nearby July at 349 and a quarter. December at 366, three quarters lower. Next year's July at 389 and three quarters, down 1 1/4. July beans are up 2 1/4 at 929 and a quarter. November at 905 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter lower. January down 1 at 912 and three quarters. And next year's July down a penny and three quarters in the bean pit. Bean meal up 70 cents in the lead option. July bean oil 6 cents higher for the day. The hard red winter wheat down a nickel for the July contract at 507. Soft red at 483 and three quarters. In the harvest lead option, July down 4 cents. Live cattle futures are $1.25 higher in the June. August feeders up $3.025, and lean hogs are 67.5 cents higher. They're trading at $84.45 for the morning on their last tick. Let's take a look at those numbers and get a bit of analysis with Ellen Dearden. She's at AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning to you, Ellen. Thanks so much. I know we've been watching the markets and not a whole lot happening this week other than we are bottoming. Well, I don't know about bottoming, but we're down on the bottom end of the trade. Can you give me a quick assessment of the corn market, please?
Corn looks like it's waiting for some new news, and I don't know whether anything will really come out of this Monday, June 1st announcement out of the government on the renewable fuel standard. Don't forget, it's going back to cover 2014 as well as 15 and 16. The market's really been watching this ethanol demand, and it looks like the grind's slowing a little bit just because the margins have turned slightly bearish.
All right, so a couple of notes on the standard as it will be released, and I don't recall just how long. I think this will be a more lengthy comment period, but this, as released, will be a ruling for a comment period again, and then the final rules will be released in November, as usual, so we'll be looking forward. I think it's probably, normally these are 60, but this one may be as long as 90 days. We'll look forward to that. Could have some impact across the board on biofuels, both ethanol and soybeans, in particular soybean oil, which has thrown some strength into the marketplace as of recent. That's really the only other thing besides weather factor that has shown pretty good crops being put into the ground across the United States, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we need to keep in mind that areas that have been dry for a long period of time are getting moisture. I talked to a client in the western part of Kansas who pointed out that during this month they received almost 7 inches of rain. Their normal rainfall for the year is only 20 inches. So he said, I can never remember in my 50 years of farming that I've had to wait for things to dry out to plant.
Yeah, so he's waiting to put beans in the ground, I suspect.
He's waiting to put beans in the ground. Those beans go to Wichita, so they have extremely wide basis, but still beans going in the ground.
And does he have wheat in the condition there deteriorating, or do you know?
The wheat has deteriorated, but they had a poor start to their wheat season, so they didn't have too much prospects good prospects to begin with and then got hit with cold and then too much rain.
Anything in the livestock market we should be discussing? I see feeder cattle are up $2.90.
Yeah, we had a pretty wild day in the feeder cattle yesterday with a big wide outside day with a high range close. A lot of talk about demand coming back in. I thought probably the outset of the week was short covering, but this feeder cattle have caught on fire and spilled into the live cattle. There's been some stronger prices on live cattle, and I thought last week our beef cutouts topped, but this week we look like we're trying to come back there, too.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us this morning. That's Helen Dearden, of course. She's with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and joins us here on WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. We're coming up on the top of the hour. It will be 9 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, back with more agricultural news, information, and prices in an hour.
Good morning. One soccer fan says even if FIFA were run by mass murderers, he'd still watch the game. And that could be good news for sponsors in the wake of corruption charges. We'll hear more on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green. Many of the alleged crimes carried out by FIFA officials have ties to a sports marketing company based in the U.S., and we'll get details. In Texas, more rain as thousands clean up from devastating floods. We'll meet a family in Houston trying to move forward. In Nebraska, lawmakers have banned the death penalty, but one says it is not a sign the conservative state is changing. And the National Spelling Bee finals are tonight. We'll hear from some former contestants who are all grown up. They would surely know it is G-L-A-D-Y-S Gladys Knight. The singer turns 71 on this Thursday, May 28th. And the news is next.